Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Jude, please. Jude, we'll read verses 17 through 22 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Jude, verses 17 through 22. Jude 17 through 22. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, this morning, dozens and dozens saved here on this property. People's eternities were changed. And God, we know you were happy. Lord, like we learned this morning in Sunday school, as the Jews were about to go into the promised land, the battles were just starting. They're not over. There's a lot of land to conquer, and there's a lot of territory for us to cover. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I announced the title of the sermon, this evening's sermon, and it is How to Make a Difference. Jude 22 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Well, according to Jude 22, you and I, we are to make a difference. We're not to live our lives unto ourselves, but ask yourself this question. Are you making a difference? You know, I want our church to make a difference. I want my life to make a difference. I want to help others to have lives about which it could be said their life made a difference. And I mean making a difference for good, not for bad. Some of you in your past life made a difference for bad. How about you make a good contribution and make a difference for right and for God now? The Bible says in Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We ought to want to make a good difference in the lives of others. We should not live our life for ourselves, but live our life for others. That's one of the differences in the Christian life. And you know, you don't have to have a high IQ to make a difference. You don't have to have a lot of money to make a difference. You don't have to be good looking to make a difference. And some of you ought to thank God for that. Hey, and listen, when you make a difference in someone's life, they stand a far better chance of making a difference in somebody else's life. This thing of making a difference, it has a domino effect. It one that makes a difference for another, they've learned something, and that other person then can make a difference in a third life, and then in a fourth, and then in a fifth. You know, I hope that our Bible college produces people that make a difference. Make a difference. Not just people that have a theology degree. I'm talking about people that make a difference. Hey, mom, train your child, not just to earn a living. Train them on how to make a difference in life. I want to help churches so that they too might make a difference. Folks, here at our church, we're not merely trying to keep the doors open. We're trying to make a difference. I'll tell you something. Again, as I travel the nation, I go everywhere, and there are people just trying to figure out just enough to keep the doors open at their church. What in the world? We're supposed to be blowing the doors off of this thing, not just trying to keep the doors open. We're supposed to be making a difference. Moses made a difference. Ruth made a difference. Paul made a difference. Peter made a difference. All the people in biblical history that we admire the most are the ones who made a difference. They didn't merely live life. They lived a life for the purpose of making a difference. Think about it. Are you making a difference? Could someone testify that you have made a difference in their life. I don't want to live my entire life to myself. When I'm done, I hope somebody, to the glory of God, can say, that man's life made a difference to me. That man's life made an impact on me. It changed me for the better. And it ought to be said of all of us. Stay with me. Sermon will be so embarrassingly practical. I wonder sometimes if I ought to preach it, but stay with me. The Bible says, first of all, having compassion, making a difference. This verse clearly connects compassion to making a difference. Compassion is to people what pollen is to the bee. It's attractive. It's desired. See, compassionate people are allowed to make a difference. I believe this. Some of you have the answers others need, but you lack compassion, and your lack of compassion is almost a repellent. See, Jesus had compassion, and he made the ultimate difference. You could have what someone needs, but if they don't know that you have compassion and they don't know that you have love, they probably will not come get what they need from you. They may not receive from you what you have that could make a difference. Why? Because somehow compassion is a bit of a shock absorber in our need and in our attempt to try to help people. Having compassion. Hey, listen, you having compassion will make you different. But compassion then can help you to make a difference in somebody's life. Listen, believing right will make you right. Believing right and having compassion will help you to make a difference. See, believing right will make you right. But believing right and having compassion will help the right that you believe to make an impact and make a difference in somebody's life. I know preachers that believe right. They have very little compassion. So they make very little impact. Do they stand right? Yes. Do they believe right? Yes. Are they doctrinally right? Yes. Is their heart in it? No. People that believe, churches that believe the very same way that we do, but they can't get off the ground. Why? There's a lack of compassion. They believe the same doctrine, but there's that missing element. The love of God. Compassion. You want to make a difference? Have compassion. Something else I thought when I was thinking of this thing of making a difference. If you want to make a difference, you'll have to be optimistic. You're going to have to get some positive about you. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. God said to Joshua, I'm going to give you every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. Wow, what an opportunity. God says, everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, it's going to become yours. But many times our problem is that we fear treading on new ground. We can produce many reasons why we can't instead of many reasons why we can. An optimistic person wants the best, and they look for the best in things. An optimistic person believes the best. An optimistic person looks at the upside of things instead of the downside of things. Optimistic people take risks in order to achieve the best. Optimistic people don't let the possible negatives paralyze their potential. Folks, if you're not careful, you'll look at all the bad things that could happen if you jump in and try to do something great for God, and they never do happen because something bad could happen. What you should have done was gotten involved and see if God would make something happen. God can use you to do a great thing. You can make a difference. The devil is great at bringing to our attention all the risks and all the negatives. He gets us fearful. He gets us afraid. Hey, are you the kind of person that pours cold water on the optimism of others? Are you an idea squelcher? Do you have a can-do attitude or a can't-do attitude? Do people do more because of you or less? Ask yourself that question. Do people do more because of you, or do people do less because of you? You know, folks, more dangerous than not reaching your goal is not having a goal to reach. Oh, be positive. Go forward. Victory in Jesus. I think if you want to make a difference, First of all, we've got to make sure that we are compassionate. Secondly, we've got to be optimistic. We've got to have hope. We've got to believe that God wants to use us. Hey, church, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, I call upon you tonight. Let's be the church that makes a difference. So what are we going to do to accomplish it, preacher? Let's keep our hearts tender. Let's make sure that we're compassionate people. Then what? Let's believe God still wants to do something. Let's be optimistic. Let's believe you can still have revival. Let's believe God can do something great. Hey, let's take our Bible college and let's believe God and let's think that God wants to do something great. But then, if you want to make a difference, you're going to have a purpose in what you do. A purpose. In Daniel 1:8 it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Here the Bible says Daniel had purpose. And if you want to make a difference, you've got to have purpose. Daniel had a cause. Daniel had a purpose about him. I believe that Daniel faced the heartaches that he faced in his life, and he faced them successfully because he had to make it through them. You say, why? For his purpose. You see, if you're going through a difficult time, if you've got a purpose on the other side of that valley, you're more apt to climb up out of that valley to get back to the mountaintop where your purpose is, where your cause is. And people with purpose will go through difficulty because they've got to get to the other side of difficulty because there's something over there that they've got to do. You see, Daniel stayed on track because of his purpose. Daniel needed to get up out of the lion's den because on the other side of the lion's den, Daniel had a purpose. He had a cause. He kept going because he had a reason to keep going. I believe in this passage that we read from Daniel 1:8 about him not defiling himself with the king's meat. I think he said no to certain temptations because they would frustrate his cause or his purpose. There's some of you, you've got to get a purpose in life. Why? It'll help you to say no to wrong, because when you say no to wrong, it strengthens you so you can fulfill the purpose that God has for your life. People with purpose are people that are resolved in their Christianity. People with purpose have extra drive. Get a purpose. Get a bus route. Get a Sunday school class. Get a ministry. Hey, make soul winning your purpose. Get a purpose in life. Why? You'll come through the difficulties of life better if you're coming through them for a purpose, with a cause. People with purpose last longer in the church. I promise you. People with purpose last longer in the church. People with purpose make a difference for good and for God. Hey, you want to make a difference? It'd be my suggestion that you have compassion. If you want to make a difference, be my suggestion that you look on the upside of things, not on the downside of things. Become more optimistic. If you want to make a difference, you need to have purpose, a cause in your life, and have purpose in what you do. Don't spend your life just doing things for the sake of doing it. Have a reason for it. Accomplish something. Fourthly, may I say, if you want to make a difference, don't be so patient. Don't be so patient. You need to be impatient about some things. This is going to sound different to you, but hang in there. In Luke 14:21, it says, "So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind.'" Hey, the Bible says here, somebody needs to go out and reach the lost, and they need to reach them quickly. You know, there's some of you say, I'm patiently going to go seek the lost. You better get on it. They're going to die and go to hell. There was not a lot of patience applied in this story. There was an urgency that was expressed. There was an aggression and an expectation of aggression. Hey, in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 12, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work what his work shall be." This is God moving quickly. Quickly. There comes a day when God's patience runs out. Why? God's going to be in a hurry. Better get to it now. You say, but preacher, patience is a virtue. Yeah, but some of you are patient to the point of being lazy. Some of you are patient to the point of paralyzation. Some of you are patient to the point of deterioration. You're spiritually forming bed sores. You're just so patient. I'd recommend some of you stop being so patient. Get in and make something happen. Hey, be properly patient with others. It's time for some of you to become a little more impatient with yourself. You should have patience to see the project through. But some of you need some impatience about getting the project started. Some of you are patiently praying that God meet the need of something here in the church or someone here in the church, and God is waiting on you to do it. Oh, God, meet the need. God's waiting on you to meet the need. You're patiently waiting. Some of you are patiently waiting for God to give you aggression. Do you wait for your car to start itself? Do you wait for the door to open itself? Overly patient people are often the ones that are waiting for the job to get easier. Or maybe waiting for the job to go away. Or better yet, how about somebody else to do the job? I would recommend this to some of you. Don't be so patient if you want to make a difference. If you want to make a difference. That's what we're talking about. God tells us we ought to make a difference as a church. As a church, how can we make a difference? We've got to be compassionate. How can we make a difference? We've got to believe that God wants to do something. We've got to look on the positive side of things. How are we going to make a difference? We've got to do what we do for a cause. We've got to have a purpose in our service to God. How are we going to make a difference? We've got to not be so patient about some things and tear into it and let's just get the job done. Then, if you want to make a difference, you probably have to learn at some point to become a self-starter. You're going to have to learn to self-motivate. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse number 7, Nehemiah said, "Then I consulted with myself." Well, you know what Nehemiah was doing? Nehemiah was talking to Nehemiah. Now, some of you do that, and it's not healthy. You know, the outer limits. But Nehemiah talked to Nehemiah about what Nehemiah needed to do, and Nehemiah prodded Nehemiah to go do what needed to be done. He consulted with himself. He told himself to go forward. He told himself to move forward. He moved himself. He advised himself, and he advised himself right. Some of you, if you're going to make a difference, you need to learn to motivate yourself. You need to be a self-cheerleader. There will not always be someone around to get you started. And so you all know, the higher up the leadership ladder you climb, the fewer people you have to check on you or to prod you. That's where your schedule becomes your dictator. I pack my schedule so full I can't see straight. You say, why? Because I have no leader. And I am not going to cheat my church, and I'm not going to cheat my God. I stay busy from sunup to sundown 7 days a week. Why? Because I don't have a human boss. So I give myself a boss. I get up and tell myself what I'm going to do, and I pack my life full. Why? Because I don't have somebody preaching to me all the time and motivating me. Got to keep me going. You know what you ought to do? Some of you have got to learn to be self-starters and motivate yourself a little more. Hey, study what others do to motivate you. Then you try that on yourself. Get a list of what motivates you and enact those things in your own life. Your personal lack of motivation will affect you, but it's going to affect the people around you. You either will make yourself more effective or less effective in life. The greatest men I've ever known could start by themselves, run by themselves, and finish by themselves. That's great leadership. And I say, if you want to make a difference, you're going to have to consult with yourself. When nobody else is there to get you going, you go ahead and take care of it. And then, may I say, if you want to make a difference, you're going to have to learn to not be so dependent on a crowd. A little like the last point, but not exactly. Don't be dependent on the crowd if you want to make a difference. See, the crowd are the ones we're trying to influence. The crowd are the ones with which we are to make a difference. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision." I could go on and read more scripture, but Daniel was alone when he saw a vision that was a vision that made a difference in it. It made an impact on him and the children of Israel. He was alone, though, when God spoke to him. Too often we allow the crowd to lead us away from the things of God instead of leading us toward the things of God. Too often we're waiting for the crowd. Too often the crowd will slow you down, folks. You know, the way to hell, the Bible says, is a broad way. There's a lot of people heading that direction. Difference makers rise above the crowd. Difference makers rise above the crowd. Lead dogs are at the head of the pack, not in the doghouse, on the porch, or in the pack. I said the lead dogs are in the front of the pack. They're not in the doghouse, on the porch, or a part of the pack. And too many times, we're just waiting to see what everybody else is going to do. How about we do what God wants us to do? See, David was not in the crowd when he slew Goliath. He went out all by himself. Elijah was not in the crowd when he stood against Jezebel. Noah was not in the crowd when he built the ark. You see, if you want to make a difference, the people that I've watched to make a difference are not those that are dependent on the crowd. I'd like to make a difference with my life. I'd like to live my life in such a way that it's not been lived unto myself. How are we going to do it? We must have compassion. How are we going to do it? We've got to be optimistic. How are we going to do it? We've got to have purpose in what we do. How are we going to do it? We've got to be not be so patient in so many areas to the point of not going forward. How are we going to do it? We've got to be self-starters and self-motivated. How are we going to do it? Well, I guess we're just, I don't know any other way to word this other than you need to be up for the challenge. You just need to be up for the challenge. I don't find very many people anymore that are up for the challenge. Give me safety. Give me calmness. Let me sit idly by and let me watch the excitement. No, I don't want to have to create any of it. Up for the challenge. In Esther chapter 4, verse number 14, it says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance also arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." Here, listen to this. "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Here's the story. Mordecai is actually saying these words to Esther. Haman is an evil man in the kingdom. And Haman is wanting all the Jewish people to be hung. Esther is the queen. And although the queen, she takes her life into her hands to spoil that plot of this man, this evil man by the name of Haman. Her uncle Mordecai is a Jew. And Mordecai comes to Esther and it says, "Esther, who knows, but such a time as this, you're come to this kingdom." You know what it meant? He was saying to her, "Are you up for the moment? Are you up to the challenge? It's time. It's time for you to do something. Are you up for it?" Doing something for God's a challenge, folks. It's time to be up for the challenge. To make a difference, it's a challenge. Challenge, hey, challenge is a part of your cause. Challenge is a part of optimism. Challenge removes boredom from your life. No, when you're up for the challenge, your life's not boring. Challenge in life will reduce your depression. Some of you are depressed because you have no challenge in life. Challenge draws out of you a reserve energy which you've forgotten even exists, or you're not even aware that it exists. But God would not ask you to do something without giving you the wherewithal to do it. Some of you need challenge. Some of you need to go to new heights. Some of you need to climb up the ladder of success. Some of you need to not back off, but back. Hey, some of you need to back off and get a running start and head up that thing and get up the mountain you're climbing. You're in a rut. You're not in a groove. Are you up for the challenge? Your challenges will make a difference in your life, and your challenges will make a difference in the lives of others. Challenge gives life zest. Challenge is the building block of the fulfilling of your potential. I like it when Mordecai says to Esther, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I believe this. I believe every single person in this house was created by God for a purpose. I also believe part of that purpose is to be filled in your church. Why did God bring you to this church? Are you doing it? Are you up to the challenge? Go find it and get it done. Everybody here. There are people out there say, I'll tell you what, preacher, I believe God brought you here, and I believe God wants to do a great work through you. God wants to do just as great a work through you as me. The work may not be identical. It might not be the same work, but for such a time as this, you were brought to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Now go do what you're supposed to do. Do it. Do it. Go do it. You see, I believe difference makers are up for the challenge. May I say, if you want to make a difference, you'll have to learn how to do things right. Do things right. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. With thy might. Give everything the most excellent treatment that you can. Those things that you do for God, God ought to get our best, not the leftovers. There's any time you ought to have some concentration left. It's when you're doing things for God. You're better off falling asleep in your football game than falling asleep during the preaching of the Word of God. Like, God deserves our best. Hey, I can't do your best and you can't do mine, but both of us can do our best. That's what God deserves. That's what God expects. Do your best when you're tired. Do your best when you're hurting. Do your best when you don't feel like it. Your best will bring fulfillment to your life. People who do things right make a difference. Doing things right is its own reward. Don't be sloppy. Don't be half committed to your duties. Don't be half committed to your projects. Do your best when others around you are not. You see, got to thinking about this thing. How do you make a difference? What does it take? Oh, there's not some deep, dark, theological secret to making a difference. What is it? Being compassionate. Being optimistic. Having a purpose in all that you do. Not being so patient that it takes you forever to get somewhere. Being a self-starter. Not having to depend on the crowd. Being up for the challenge, realizing there's something you're to do and you're doing it. Doing things right for God. And then finally, if you're going to make a difference, you're going to need character. You're going to need character. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You ought to be diligent about everything you do. We're talking about character. We're talking about hard work. Work is a four-letter word, but it's not a cuss word. It's a good word. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. I'll tell you something. Compassion takes character of emotion. Optimism takes character of attitude. Purpose takes character with our goals. Aggression takes character of your physical energy. Being a self-starter takes character of drive. Not needing the crowd takes character in the area of separation. Being up for the challenge, it takes character. Doing things right, it takes character. Making a difference is not accomplished by accident. It's accomplished on purpose. You say, I want to make a difference. Then you take these elements. You go do them. Make yourself. Required of yourself. I want to make a difference. This is how I make a difference. Now I'll go make myself make a difference. Making a difference is hard work. Therefore, I guess we ought to just go ahead and live our lives into ourselves. Because to make a difference, you not only take care of yourself, you're attending to the needs of others. Take something more of you. Self-discipline is required if you want to be a difference maker. Don't just live your life. Make a difference with your life. I love the scripture from Jude, verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, the making of a difference. Our country needs some people that'll make a difference. Our community needs people that'll make a difference. Our church needs people that'll make a difference. Our school needs people that will make a difference. Our college needs people that will make a difference. Your family needs someone that'll make a difference. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come. We'll help you to get baptized. If you need to join the church, you come. But I wonder tonight, who here would say, Brother Owens, tonight, the Holy Spirit of God has reached down into my heart. There's some parts to this thing of making a difference that I've got to get them into me. I've got to make them part of what I am. I want to make a difference, and God's spoken to my heart tonight. Would you raise your hand? Hands all over the place. God bless you. If you need the altar, I want you to come to it. Don't let the balcony stop you. Somebody, you might need to come down here very humbly and say, Dear God, please use me. I want to make a difference, and I'll take these elements and I'll put them into place. And I want to make a difference. I don't want to just live my life. I want to make a difference with my life. Of course, that's why God gave it to you. You might need the altar. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's stand.